Okay, so since we are holding by Erev Parsha Zohar, so we'll talk a little bit about Parsha Zohar. Mitzvah Tuf Resh Gimel. So we're 10 away from the end of the Sefer Achinuch. And there's really three mitzvos, if you notice, if I ever get there, three mitzvos that are related to Amalek. So we have Mitzvah Tuf Resh Gimel, Mitzvah Lizkor Masha Asa Amalek Li Yisrael B'Tzeisam Mitzrayim. You have the Mitzvah Zechiras Maisa Amalek, that's Tuf Resh Gimel. Then Tuf Resh Dalet, Mitzvah Lahachris Zaro Shel Amalek, the Mitzvah to destroy Amalek. And then Mitzvah Tuf Resh Hei is the Losase version of Tuf Resh Gimel, which is Shelo Nishkach Maisa Amalek She'aseim Avoseinu B'Tzeisam Mitzrayim. Not to forget. So there's a Mitzvah Zachor, there's an Isser of Shikha, there's an Isser to forget, and then there's a Mitzvah of actually wiping out Amalek. So it will go a little out of order. No, we can't go out of order just because the way the Chinuch gives you the whole Arichas in the first one, which really applies to all three. So let's read the Chinuch on the first one, because it basically gives you the lowdown for everything. So Shinitztavino Lizkor Masha Asa Amalek Li Yisrael Shehischil Lehisgaros Bam B'Tzeisam Mitzrayim B'Terem Nasa Goy U'Mamlocha Yado Aleim. Right, so what are we remembering about Amalek? We're remembering that they are the ones who started up with us before anybody else was willing to do so. Ukinyan Shekosov, Reish is Goyim Amalek. Amalek is the first of nations. What does that mean? Reish Karvayad Yisrael Hu Amalek. That's what Unkelus says. The first one that approached the Jews is Amalek. Shahakol Ayu Yireyim B'Shom Am Hayara Gedola Asher Asa Hashem Lehem Mitzrayim V'Amalekim B'Roa Levavam, with the evil in their hearts, Uvmizogam Ara, and their evil nature, or their evil, I don't know what that, nowadays we say that, their climate, their evil climate. Lo Shasu Libam L'Kol Zeh, they did not pay any attention to them, V'Yizgarubam, and they got in their faces anyway. Right, they caused the fear of the Jews to leave the hearts of everybody else. Right, the Ambat Yorosachas, the Yororosachas, She'in Kol Bria Yichola Leirid L'Tocha. Nobody could enter this hot, this hot tub, really hot tub. Uba Echad V'Kofatz V'Yorad L'Tocha. One guy jumped in. Afal B'Shenichve Hakikir. Osal Acherim, right? Or Hikar Osal Acherim. He caused it, he cooled it down for everybody else. Meaning he said, and that's, well, we'll get to that in one second. Al Zachiras and Yanim Zed, Namar Zachoras Asher Asalacha Amalek, Bederech Tzeischem Mitzrayim. You have to remember what Amalek did when you left Mitzrayim. That is the mitzvah d'oraisa to remember, as we'll see. It doesn't mean to remember, but it means to mention. We're supposed to speak out that which Amalek did to us when we left Mitzrayim. And specifically, we're supposed to remember the idea that they ruined everything. And this is the most famous, probably the most famous of all gematrias of Amalek. Dates all the way back to the days of Chazal, right? There are two gematrias, I think, that Chazal have about Amalek. But probably the most famous of them is Amalek is gematria of Sofik. Sofik. What's Pshat Sofik? Because Amalek knew that they would never succeed at actually getting people to deny what the Jewish people were all about. They know what he's saying, like, oh yeah, there's no God. What do you mean there's no God? First of all, Amalek believed in God. I don't want to get into it now, but Amalek very much believes in God, as did all of the Avodah Zarah of those times. And if you look in every Avodah Zarah, there was always a chief God in every Avodah Zarah. So they believed their Ribono Shel Olam was the chief God. They said, but their cheshbon was, we have no relationship with the chief God. Chief God is mamish, like all the way up in Shemayim. He has nothing to do with us, right? We serve the lowly, the lowly messengers of the chief God. You know, the Jews, they think they could serve the chief God their way out based on that. No one can serve the chief God. You know, so that was the major mistake. Certainly, according to the Rambam and the Hilchos Avodah Zarah, that was the major mistake that all the nations made. But Amalek specifically, their whole essence was Kedusha is up there and Tumah is down here, and that's the way we like it. You know, there's spirituality up there and there's physicality down here, and the two shall never, right, never the twain shall meet, as I think Shakespeare said that. I never read it in Shakespeare, but I heard of Aaron Lichtenstein say it once, but shame Shakespeare. So we don't put the two together. That's but Amalek's whole yisod is suffic, meaning he wasn't able to succeed at hurting the Jews significantly. He wasn't able to defeat the Jews. He wasn't able to get people to deny the Jews, to deny God, But he said he cooled it down for everybody else. He made it seem like, maybe they're not as bad as we thought. Maybe their God is not so tough. Maybe we can get in a few good punches. Maybe that's the suffix. They put the doubt in your mind. I mean, the Gemara says that one of the things that the Kohen Gadol would daven for when he was davening for the whole Jewish people is that the people shouldn't come back from battle and find their wives a suffix nida. I mean, they've been away from the house a long time. Shouldn't come home and be a suffix nida. What is a suffix nida? Shouldn't come and be a vada nida. I mean, because they've been away from their family for a long time. They want to maybe have tashmish amida, and they're going to want to, you know, they're going to want to, but their wives are going to be also to them. So the answer is pashut, not that way. I mean, suffix nida is so much worse than vada nida. Vada nida is asur. Okay, I'll wait. You know, I'm not a chaya. I can wait. So, but suffix nida is he's really mother. You know, that's when you start clearing. That's what eats you up. Suffix is what eats you up. If you know vada, if you're, you know, paraphrase. I don't know Shakespeare, but I do know Mr. Miyagi, right? Right, Mr. Miyagi. You guys know Mr. Miyagi? Right, so he said to Daniel-san, he says, you karate do, okay. Right, he said, you walk on this side of the road, okay, this side of the road, middle of the road, squash like grape. Right? So he says, you karate do, okay. You karate no do, okay. You karate, maybe, squash like grape. Right, suffix is what gets us. Suffix is what gets us. You're in or you're out. Right? Worst thing we could say, obviously not really the worst thing we could say. We always say, I'll try. No, you're going to do it. You're not going to do it? That's fine too. But don't try. Do me a favor. Don't try. Try is just another word for I'm going to fail. You know? Say, I'm going to do this. Sometimes you fail, even though you really were going to do it. But it's not for lack of having the right attitude. So that's when we say, okay, Onas Rachmana Patre, you really did try. But how do we, in our psyche, how do we know that we tried? Because we held we were going to do it. And then there was an onus and we didn't do it. You know, a guy says, I'm going to finish, you know, this Masechta this year. So he doesn't have to take a neder about it. But he says, like, okay, say, I'm going to try to finish the Masechta. That's code for I will not be finishing this Masechta. You know, it's code for I will not be doing this thing. I'm going to try to, if you start off with try, you get nothing. If you start off, I'm going to do it, right? Then you might succeed, you might not succeed, but at least your attitude was, I'm going to do it. And that's when we say, you know, Gemara says, Mishachishiv lasos mitzvah, nana solav lo asa, malan olav kilu asa. Right? If a person wanted to do a mitzvah, he thought he was going to do a mitzvah, and then there was an onus and he couldn't do it, so then the Torah considers it as if he did it. Right? Why? Because he said, I'm going to do it. He didn't say, I'm going to try to do it. Okay, so maybe if he tries, says, I'm going to try to do it, he gets credit as if he tried. But if he says, I'm going to do it, he gets credit as if he did it. You know, even though he didn't do it. So you have to have that in mind also. But that's all begedder this yisod of suffix. Amalek cooled it down for everybody. Amalek put that idea of suffix into our minds and into the world's minds. That's their modus operandi. Fine. Misharashi amitzos. So in terms of the tamei amitzos, loses eli benu, right? Shekol ametzar li Yisrael sonui lifnei Hashem Baruch Hu. Anyone who tries to harm the Jews is hated by God. Let us realize that 100%. Right? Kumu Hashem v'yafutzu oyevecha. Right, we say, "Get up, Hashem, and scatter your enemies." Right, so frek the medrash, v'chiyesh sonim lifnei misha amar v'hoyah ha'olam. Are there enemies against the one who spoke and created the world? What are you kidding me? Who are God's enemies? Like, what does that even mean? Like, I've got a gun. I spoke and created the universe. Like, what kind of fight is that? Right. So the answer is no. Kol asoni Yisrael. Right, ki'ilu sone lamakom. Right, anyone who hates Klal Yisrael, it's like they hate God, and vice versa. We have to understand it's important yisod. Right, it's the same way as if you have a child and somebody is trying to kill your child, you mamish hate that person. You look at that person as an enemy, even though maybe he has some redeeming qualities. But at the end, of it doesn't matter. You know, they're trying to hurt your child. You can't see anything else but that. Right, the chilafi ra'aso v'aramas rov nizko tiyeh ma'palaso v'ra'aso kemosha atam motzi ba'amalek ki mibnei she'asa ra gedole Yisrael she'hischil hu la'hazikam tzivonu baruch hu la'abed zichram minei aretz l'sharesh acharav ad kulo or ad kloya maybe. I'm not sure what the correct word there is. But we're basically commanded to destroy them and to completely annihilate their memory from the world. One of the great ironies is that we're the ones perpetuating their memory. Who would ever heard of Amalek if not for the mitzvah of Zechiras Ma'aseh Amalek? Right? It's a good kasha, no? So, what? Oh, Baruch Shekivanti. Right? So what was the answer? Take the shot? Burn the bridge?
What was the answer?
Be great.
Be great.
Your dad asked us this one. He gave a drasha in shul, and he said, I remember Chalihar speaking about this, but I don't remember the answer.
So, Lafi Aniyus Daiti, I think the answer is that because that, because of what Amalek is, I think this is a good raya to Reb Chaim Brisker's shita that Amalek is not necessarily a genealogical, it's not a genealogical people that have certain genetics going back to Esav HaRasha, going back to Amalek. It has to do with a mentality of Isser, a desire to destroy Klal Yisrael, a desire to destroy goodness in the world. And if we forget about Amalek, if we forget about Amalek, then there's never going to be anyone actively fighting evil, right? Everyone says like, yeah, when we see evil, we'll know it and we'll fight it. But it's not true. If you don't remind yourself constantly what evil is, you'll never be ready to destroy it. You'll never be ready to fight it. And therefore, if you say that it's mamish a genealogical thing, then you have yourself a very strong kasha. If you say like Reb Chaim's chat, that it's all about the concept of Amalek, the mentality of Amalek, then you can say very well that by our remembering Amalek themselves, we can eradicate evil from this world. Anyway, maybe. Okay, but that's the idea, that we have to constantly remember what they did. Midinei HaMitzvah. So what are the halachos? Masha'am Ruzal, Shechiyuv Zechira Zuhi Belev Ubepeh. It's a chiyuv both by in your heart, of Lo Tishkach, and a chiyuv of Zachor with your mouth. V'cheinu B'Sifrei. This is in the Medrash. Zachor as Asher Asa, Yachol Bilvavecha. That's talking about forgetting it. Why do you have to speak it out? You speak it out to constantly reinvigorate your hatred. You have to constantly reinvigorate your disdain for Amalek, or as we were saying, your disdain for evil. It's not enough. Ohavei Hashem sinu ra. Right? That's what we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, right? It's not enough to love Hashem. I'm a lover, not a fighter. You know, I love things. I don't hate things. So, like, I'm not going to pretend that I'm like Mr. Go Kill Amalek, man. I don't know what it means to kill things, you know, besides kids' self-esteem. And, like, I don't know what it means to, you know, to fight against somebody. I don't think ever been in a real fight in my whole life. So, but like, in the end of the day, we have to realize that that's not good enough. If we truly love Hashem, we also hate evil. When we see evil, we have to hate it. We can't just be like, yeah, we love Hashem, and we love evil too, but not nearly as much, you know? Like, no, we hate evil. If you really love goodness, it means that you hate the opposite of good. You hate the opposite of what's doing all the positive things in the world, and you hate evil, right? Now, there's some people, all they do is hate evil. They don't love Hashem, you know? And when it comes down to it, they really hate a lot more than just evil, you know? But it's a dichotomy. Like, we look by Shmuel HaNavi, right? What does it say by Shmuel HaNavi when he's finally came across Agog Melech HaMolek? What does it say? I don't remember the Lashon of the Navi. You remember the Lashon of the Navi there? It doesn't say he killed him. Whatever, it's not worth it. But basically, it doesn't say that he killed him. It says he cut him to pieces. He cut him to. It used the lashon like vayishasos or something like really much more than vayarogoso or vayahargu or something like that. He sliced him to pieces. Now this is Shmuel HaNavi. He's been living as a kadosh v'tamim since he was 3 years old. He's been living by the Mishkan, you know, until he became an active navi, and then he's like running a yeshiva for Nevi'im and running around Eretz Yisrael judging Klal Yisrael. Like, he's not a fighter. You know, how he even had a sword on him in the first place, I have no idea. I mean, I guess he knew because Hashem told him you got to go to Sheol and, you know, basically depose him as Melech. But Sha'ul was a warrior, even before he became king, at least according to Chazal, was a great fighter, was a great warrior. He had Rachmanis on Agag Melech HaMalek. Shmuel, He sees Agag Melech HaMolek. He says, "This is what Hashem says," and he does it. Mamish b'lemahadrin. He kills him with gusto. So you think about, where did he have it in him? Like, this is a man. He's kulo shalom. He's kulo Torah. He's kulo MS. Kulo nevius. We know what Talmidei Chacham are. We don't know what neviim are. You know, like, what does that even mean? And yet, he had it in him because this is literally number one on the Rabbeinu Shalom's hit list, is this man. He says, if God hates him, I hate him. I don't hate anybody, I hate him. You know, again, we had it's very dangerous. You can't become a hater. You have to channel it, dafka, only to pure evil, and really, it's only Amalek. You know, there's no mitzvah, Zechira Zayin Am. There was a mitzvah to destroy the Sheva Amimim, you know, Kulzman, that they were occupying Eretz Yisrael, and we had to wipe them out. But that was really, that was more Latoelis. That was to, so that they wouldn't convince us to worship Avodah Zarah. And Lamaisa, what happened? We didn't destroy them, and they did convince us to worship Avodah Zarah. So it was bad for us. Again, when you're the nice guy, you finish last. So we finished last on that one. We didn't completely wipe out the seven nations, or we didn't at least drive them out of Eretz Yisrael, and it's coming back to haunt us. You know, but in the end of the day, Amalek is different. Amalek, you have to mamish hate them. You have to, and we have to repeat the words so as not to forget the hatred from our hearts. So that's a different level than anything else that we ever talked about. Right? There's no official time. Right? Zechiras Yitzrayim we do twice a day. In this Sefer Achinuch, we have to realize this is one of the, like, we call the Sheish Zechiros, right? The six remembrances that we're supposed to remember constantly. It's one of the fundamentals of our religion. So that's the amazing thing. Remembering Amalek is one of the fundamentals of our religion. What? Why is that a fundamental of a religion? Like, you know, there's one God, you know, he runs the world, he does everything, there's Scharva Onesh. Right, Torah and Shemayim. Okay, I got that. That's the Ikare Amuna. Zechiras Ma'isa Amalek. Like, why is that? No, but if you understand it as the concept of hating evil, so you could say one of the fundamentals of Judaism is that we love good and we hate evil. So it is a fundamental of our religion. Avotam Zechiras Ma'ishas Amalek Eino Rak Shalotishkach Sinasom Ilibena V'Day Lano Bazeh Lizkor Inyan Pamachas B'Shana Oshtei Shanim B'Shalosh. He says, really, once every year or every 2 or 3 years is going to be good enough. Right, he's saying that in that. Well, let me finish the sentence. They read the whole Torah once every 1 or 2 or 3 years, because there used to be something called the triannual cycle. They used to finish the Torah once every 3 years, not once every year. Way back when. But yeah, I think it's Pashtus, what he's saying at least is that there was always people who finished it once a year, but some places they finished it once every 3 years. You know, it's not, again, not one of the Ikarei Emunah that you have to finish the whole Torah every year. But, you know, that's become the minhag b'chol tfutzos Yisrael. There's no, I don't think there's any Jews left on earth who do it once every 3 years. Plus, we like Simchas Torah, you know. Shmini Atzeres is not the moik. Do we sit in Sukkah? Don't we sit in Sukkah? But after you're done talking about that, you know, like, how exciting is Shmini Atzeres? So we got Simchas Torah, we make it better. But, so here we're saying that you're going to finish the Torah every year, so you're good to go anyway. Right? We always read it the Shabbos before Purim. V'din yia l'krosa b'yom Purim. Really, you could have read it on Purim. L'fishu me'inyano shel yom ki haman arasha hayim izaro. Aval lahodia shekodem neizen itzdavino bezachir zu kavu aparsha kodem l'Purim. We want to remember that. We don't hate Amalek because we hate Haman. We hate Haman because we hate Amalek, right? We want to be clear that Haman being part of Amalek goes back to Mitzvah Doraisa, so we don't want to confuse the two. Therefore, we read it the Shabbos before Purim, not on Purim itself. So people shouldn't think, "Oh, Amalek. Why do we hate Amalek? Oh, because of Purim." You know, no, it's way before Purim. Aval samchu al Purim al derech mashiyom ruzal bimkomos samchu inyan lo. Right? We always say, we try to put thematic events right next to each other. Women are not chayev in destroying Amalek, and therefore they are not chayev to remember Amalek.
Is it an avera for them to kill an Amalek?
is it an Avera for a woman to kill an Amaleki? Right? So Pashta says it's not an Avera. It would be Torah's Eina Mitzuva Aviosa. Right? They would be not commanded, but they could do it. Now the question is it an Avera for anyone to just kill an Amaleki on the street? Pashta says, yes, that would be an Avera. You're not allowed to go just kill somebody on the street. We'll try to discuss in the next mitzvah, we'll try to see what's the actual mitzvah of wiping out Amalek. Shenestavina limcho zara shal Amalek ula abid zichrom and olam zachar nekevim katan v'gadol al zenem ar timcha zecher Amalek shebechlal zecher hu akol ukvar ta'ab nikud tevazu gadol hador. Right? One of the great Talmidei Chachamim of his generation made a mistake about this. Right? It's in the Gemara in Bava Basra. Discusses Yoav ben Tsruya, Behisher Mehem Anikevo. So he went and he killed out all the males of Amalek, and he says, well, why'd you kill out all the males and you didn't kill the women? What do you mean? It says, Timcha es Zochar Amalek. He says, whoa, it doesn't say Zochar Amalek, it says Zecher Amalek. Right? So he says, wait a second. Why did my Rebbe teach me? It only says Zochar Amalek. And he went and he confronted his Rebbe. You know this Gemara? He confronted his Rebbe and he says, how did you teach it to us? And the Rebbe said, we don't know. Because the Gemara doesn't have Nekudos. The Gemara says, the Rebbe answered him, Zion Kuf Resh. So Yoav took out a dagger and he was about to kill him. He says, why are you killing me? He says, the Torah says, the person who doesn't, you know, who doesn't teach the Torah properly, he's cursed. And I want you to, he says, all right, let me live and be cursed. So, okay, that was their debate. But the question is, how did he, so the Mefarshim try to figure out, what did he say? Did he say that he taught it to him wrong? Or maybe it's even worse. He taught it to him right, but even his best Talmud didn't get the message, so he obviously did a lousy job teaching it to them. Meaning, you want to say, all right, you know, there's always that one guy sleeping in the back. He doesn't, you know, so if he didn't get the shot that day, what do you want from me already? I'm doing my best. You know, but if the future member of the Sanhedrin didn't get it, who else got it? You know, so if Yoav didn't get it, then how's the, you know, the Shvacha guy supposed to get it? So therefore, the Rebbe was Chayv Misa for doing that. Okay, the Gemara gives you a very unexciting conclusion. It says, Yesh Omrim, he killed him, Yesh Omrim, he didn't kill him. Shkoyach. You know, that doesn't help us. So anyway, but you see there was such a problem, so it's very important we say it as a zecher, right? I made this dumb joke in honor of Tainus Esther when it says over there, you're supposed to give machzis ha-shekel. So I said, well, are you giving, it's a good Rabbi Werberman joke. So I said, Rabbi Werberman, are you giving zecher le machzis ha-shekel or zecher le machzis ha-shekel? Right? So is it, but in reality, that's not funny at all. So he says over there, Yoav ben Tsruya made this mistake. Hishamehem anekeva shalisharab shirabo lo ishkiach yofe alav kishalamdo mikrezev and ishtabesh Yoav v'kara zochor. His Rebbe didn't pay close attention to him and he read it wrong. Kimosha bab of Basra perik lo yachbar. Right? So what are the, we already explained the reasons for the mitzvah, the halachas of the mitzvah, the kitzer. If you look in the 8th perik and sota, v'zos men mitzvah metelos al tzibur kulon. There's a mitzvah on the tzibur. The three mitzvahs that we were commanded in when we entered Eretz Yisrael is have a king, build Beis HaMikdash, and wipe out Amalek. Not necessarily in that order. But the king part is for sure first. Ube'emes ki gam al kol yachid mi Yisrael hazachar muta lachiyav lehorgam la'avdim en olam im yesh koach b'chol makam b'chol zman. So the Sefer HaChinuch is saying, not like I said, he's saying, if you would be in a place, you'd be on a desert island with a member of Amalek, then it would be a chiyav on you to kill him. Im ulai yimotzei echad mikol zeram, if you could technically find somebody. But, right, so that's a highly debatable point, meaning... He says in the footnotes over here, he wants to claim that it's mashma somewhat like that in the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos. However, others disagree, and they want to say that it's only a mitzvah on the Tzibur. It's only a mitzvah for the Jewish nation to go to war against the nation of Amalek. And it's only considered the Jewish nation if they're in Eretz Yisrael under the auspices of a Jewish king. And that's why we were never commanded to go up against Amalek until we had Shaul HaMelech, as our king. And then pretty much the first thing Hashem asked him to do once he was, you know, he was in the third year of his malchus, but once he was, you know, firmly rooted in the malchus, and I guess you could say he had like a chesgas gimel shanim on the malchus, so therefore he was considered muchzuk. And Hashem said, okay, now it's time to wipe out Amalek. But beforehand, we weren't necessarily commanded to do like mini strikes against Amalek. You know, if you kill one, that's great, you know. But it doesn't seem like that's the pashup shot. However, you know, the chinuch does learn that way. The chinuch learns that it's a mitzvah to go up against Amalek regardless of whether or not there's a Jewish king, and regardless, as long as you can get away with it. If you can't get away with it, then don't do it. So that's why they say about different rabbanim, you can insert your favorite Ruach HaKodesh rabbi there, that he used to walk looking at the ground because he could see on people's faces whether they were from Zera Amalek, and then he would have to kill them. But the Pashtus says that's not true, because even if you hold that it's a mitzvah, al kol achas v'achas b'chol zman, which is not Pashut, but even if you say that, then you're not in a position where you could get away with it, meaning so ein achinami. If you can get away with it, you should kill them. What are you being mevatel the mitzvah by? It's not supposed to be an ostrich and hide your head in the sand. If you could do the mitzvah, then you should do it. You know, if you're a holy enough person that you could see whether or not somebody is on a mullet, is an Amaleki on his face, so then why were you trying to avoid mitzvahs? And if you can't get away with it, so you're not being mevatel the mitzvah. Saying, Anas Rachman Apatre, you're not mechuyev to be moser nefesh on this particular mitzvah.
Yeah, so like, I was going to say, like there's a chance that he'll kill you. So,
correct. I mean, well, you know, not, he doesn't know you have Amalek radar, so he doesn't realize that you're going to try to kill him. But so you get the jump on him. So okay, whatever. Lamaisa, you could debate whether or not, you know, the Rishonim already debate this topic, whether or not it's a chiyuv on the yachid, but it's certainly a chiyuv on the tzibur. The ikar chiyuv is definitely on the tzibur, and it's a chiyuv dafka when there's a Jewish king and dafka in Eretz Yisrael. So those are the basics of the mitzvah of Amalek. Let's look at a couple of pieces here in the Minchas Chinuch. It's a tiny little mitzvah, so you can actually knock off the whole Minchas Chinuch. He just raises an interesting point in Os Aleph on Mitzvah Tafresh Gimel. He raises a very interesting point. He says, if you look in the Gemara Megillah, he quotes that same Sifrei, where it says, Zachor Yachol Belev, Kishu Omer, Lo Tishkach, Hare Shikchas Halev Amur, Hamani Mekayim Zachor, Shete Shone Beficha. Right, so he says, I think I saw Kimiduma Li Sheraisi Besefer Derech Pikudecha Sheikshir Minalanze. So he says, how do we know this? I mean, the Sefer Derech Pikudecha asks an interesting kasha on the drusha itself. He says, the Efsher who believe, the Achdihi Asay Velosa say. Why don't we just say the same teretz that the Gemara says many times? Right? Sometimes the Gemara will say, well, why to repeat it? Oh, to make their two lavin, right? So why do we repeat it here? Why do we say Zachor and then we say Lo Tishkach? So why don't we just say Lavor Alav Ba'aseh Velosa say? It's the same thing twice. Why do we say Dafka? Right? Why do we say Dafka? So that's why I always thought the answer to this question was very simple. This was a debate going back to the first day of yeshiva this year. I said to the guys, where do we learn out Kiddush Min HaTorah? Zachor is Yom HaShavuot L'Kadosho. So he said, what does the word Zachor mean? So everybody's going to say the same thing. It means remember, right? So I said, no, the word in the Torah doesn't mean, Zachor doesn't mean remember, it means mention. How do I know? Right here. So he said, how do you know you're right? The Gemara seems to be indicating you're not right. The Gemara seems to be saying, Zachor doesn't mean mention, it means remember, and only when it says Lo Tishkach, that's when you know that Zachor means mention. So I think the answer is partial. I think that Zachor does mean both, it means remember and mention, but since there is that alternative pshat in the word zachor to mean mention, so therefore when the Gemara says lo tishkach, it automatically darshans that zachor means mention. You understand? Because otherwise the kasha is better than the teretz. The kasha is just say, zachor means remember, lo tishkach means don't forget, which is also code for remember, and it's lavor alav b'aseh v'losa say. But the answer is because zachor doesn't really mean remember, it means remember or mention. And since mention is an Iker translation of the word Zachor, the Gemara is not going to choose to just say the word Zachor is Mechadish nothing for us, just to make it an Asay and a Los Asay. It'll say the word Zachor is, in this case, clearly means mention. And it's the same thing by Zachor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. The Medrash says, how do we know Zachor is Bepeh? How do we know it's not Belev? Because it also says Shamor. So again, same thing. Why can't we say that Zachor means Belev and Shamor means Belev? Right? The answer is because since the word Zachor could mean mention and not just remember, which is belev, Mela, we choose that shot and not just to say it's an asay and a los asay of remember. I don't know, I thought that was the parshup shot, and that's the answer to this question. Minchas Chinuch doesn't answer. He just says, I don't have the sefer on me right now. Right? He says, V'a'emes keini de'over ba'asei v'loza say im shocheach k'mosh kosev rav mechaber v'ina sefer b'yadi v'tzarchi in kais. He says, I got to look into it more, but I don't have the sefer with me right now. But he says, it is true that if you don't do zechira, you do violate an asei and a loza say. Because you violate zachor and you violate lotishkach. V'loshna Rambam mitzvah sasei lizkor tamid nira midvar of the himen mitzvah satmidios. Sounds like it's one of the mitzvos tmidios, right? Sounds like it's a constant chiyuv. Kimosha mona harav mechaber b'akdama sefer b'igeres sheish mitzvos tmidios. Midivrei harav mechaber nira didai b'pam achas kol yomov. I'm not going to answer this kasha right now, but I'll give you a cute kasha. My father-in-law asked me this kasha the other day. He was over by my house 2 Shabbosos ago. So I think the daf was learning Sukkah Chaf Vav or Chaf Hey so I wasn't keeping up with the daf at the time, still not. But I asked him, I said, oh, where's the daf holding? So he said, oh, Sukkah Chaf Hey. I was like, oh. So I said, so you're doing Sluchim Mitzvah Ptur Min HaSukkah? So he said, yeah. So he said, had a good kasha on Tosfos. Tosfos says the Kashan Rashi. Rashi says, Afilu b'shas chaniyason, you're even part of the mitzvah. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? Even when you're resting from a mitzvah, you're part of from other mitzvahs. Mishi yeshlo, mezuzah, bepischo, betzitzis, bebigdo, tfilin, berosho. He's part of from all the other mitzvahs. He says, why don't you just say, ask it about the sheish mitzvahs tmidios? Of, you know, Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem and, you know, Zechiras Maisa Malek. So he's busy being Zocher Maisa Malek. How he's ba'osik mitzvah, part of in a mitzvah. Is mezuzah active? Is tzitzis active? Okay, so it's not the world's greatest kasha, but I just thought it's good. Yeah, but neither is he with mezuzah. He put up a mezuzah 6 years ago. Now he's osik. Yeah, you know, why is that osik? Saying he put up a mezuzah. No, so you're saying the Ran's pshat. I understand the Ran's pshat. I'm just saying, why can't you ask the same kasha by the sheish mitzvahs t'midias? That's a, whatever. It's baal batish kasha, but it's a good kasha nonetheless. So some of the baal batish questions are also very good. But, all right, so just food for thought. That's your homework assignment. All right, so then he says, Ayin Rishonim, what we say in Parsha Zachor, Al Kuponim, Ze Vadei Borer Da Mitzvah Bi Yachid Gamkein Mekayim. Rak Parsha Zachor Ba'asara, so he's talking about here the mitzvah Zechiras HaMalek. Of course, if you read it, Bi Yechidus, you would definitely fulfill it. But the mitzvah Parsha Zachor is Ba'asara, who is Sefer Torah, who Midur Rabbanan. So Midur Rabbanan, to have a minyan and to also read it from a kosher Sefer Torah. Avo min haTorah dai sheyizkor bepeh kol yachid v'zeh poshut. Not so poshut, but he wants to say it's poshut. That's fine. If you look clearly in the rush, there's a big troublemaking rush in Brachas. Is that the rush he's quoting over here? He quotes Magen Avram b'shem Tosus and the rush. So there's a big troublemaking rush in Brachas about Rabbi Eliezer shichrer avdo. That's a big troublemaking sugya in general. No, there's a lot of difficulties that come from that sugya. The Rabbi Eliezer freed his servant to make a minyan. So he made him a full-fledged Jew, and now he had a minyan. Right? What? It comes up. It comes up in like all kinds of other sugyas. It comes up with Lava B'Mechlal Aseh. It comes up with Aseh Derabim. What's bigger? Derises Derabon. Very loaded little story over there. So another thing that's loaded from it is Tosos and the Rush asked the Kasha, well, what do you need a minyan for in the first place? That was so exciting. Right? What do you need a minyan for? Kriyas HaTorah, it's the Rabbanan. You know, he says, no, maybe it was Kriyas HaTorah of Parsha Zachor. And then the rush makes life really difficult. He goes, or Parsha's Para. What? Parsha's Para, Daraisa? All right, that turned the whole world on its head. Now I got to figure out why Parsha's Para might be Daraisa. Okay, whatever, some other time. But the bottom line is the rush seems to say, and so does Tosfos, that Parsha Zachor Ba'asara is Doraisa, but the Minchas Chinuch says Adover Parshat that it's Derabanan to have it, you know, Betzibur Adover Parshat that to read it from Sefer Torah is only mid Derabanan. Okay, so the Magen Avram clearly says not that way, but that is the opinion of the Minchas Chinuch. Now let's talk about women and Parsha Zachor, women and Mechiyas HaMalek, as the Minchas Chinuch already pointed out. What's the pshat? The potter or some mehalav gamkin. He says, if the Rav Mechaber says women are potter from remembering a Malek, so they're also potter from the losa, say, of forgetting. V'tzarech raya liftor nash mitzvah saseh she'in hazman grama. Why on earth would you say? He says the Rambam doesn't come straight out and say women are potter. And it's not a mitzvah saseh she'in hazman grama. It's a mitzvah tamidis. So why should women be potter? U'vifrat b'makam lav. So he says, you're really in trouble now. Why? Because women are chayav in all the low saseis in the Torah except for bal takif and bal tashcheis, right? The iser to cut your payas off and shave your beard. So, good news. Women can shave all their beards and cut their payas, right? But lamaisa, they're putter from all the, they're chayav in all the other low saseis in the Torah. So how could they be putter from zechiris amalik? There's even a low sasei attached to it. So what's the answer? Because men are supposed to be the soldiers and not the women. It's a big debate nowadays in Israel. Aside from the other army debate, there's a debate about female soldiers. Apparently a certain, I don't know who the Rav is, so I couldn't comment one way or the other, Paskin, that women should be combat soldiers or could be combat soldiers, and all the big Hezder, Rosh Yeshiva, and Poskim, they came out and they said it's ridiculous, it's not true. Women should not be combat soldiers. All right, this is an old-time discussion. But Lamaisa, what? Yes, yes. But no, the standard Torah position, no matter what your position on the Israeli army is, you could be the most pro, you know, in the world. That does not mean you're pro women, you know, being combat soldiers. That's not necessarily the way to go at all. So says the Minchas Chinuch. Okay, I understand why the Sefer Chinuch wanted a pater women from Mechiyas HaMalik, because they're not supposed to be soldiers. But Be'emes Melchemes Mitzvah HaKol Yotzin Afilu Kala Michupasa. Right? It says that's the Lashon of the Mishnah in Sota. Afilu Chasa Michedro V'Kala Michupasa. That for Melchemes Mitzvah, everyone goes, even the Kala. And it says in the Gemara Sota Mem Dalad and Beis, the Rambam Hilchos Malachim Perek Zayin Alecha Dalad. Gam Mi Amad B'Sod Hashem Yizbarach Im Hatam Machmas HaNekama. So he says, who told him that the, meaning, he so his number one raya against the chinuch is, you know, he's going to say women are potter from going to the army. So he's saying, ain't a chinami, but that's not for Melchemes Mitzvah. Melchemes Mitzvah, she has to, you know, put on an army uniform over her wedding dress and go out there, you know, whatever.
Isn't that Ozeik Mitzvah, potter min mitzvah? She's in the middle of her wedding?
Like, so the pashtus, the simplest of answers. But the simplest of answers is, you know, it has to be Efshar Leoso Sayyidei Acherim, meaning Avada, you know, if there's a huge army, meaning there's tons of Melchemes Mitzvah. You could argue very, in my opinion, I don't know, very convincingly that to be in the Israeli army now is also to get a Melchemes Mitzvah. So does that mean every single guy in the world has to be in the Israeli army? Melchemes Mitzvah, every kala, at every wedding, we should go grab the kala and take her to the Israeli army? No, it means that if they need you for the battle, if you're going to be useful to the army as a soldier, you better get out there and fight. Now, that's why many will say, okay, at least everybody should do basic training, so that if they ever need you, you'll be ready. You know, they don't need every 45-year-old balabas to come, you know, he's a successful surgeon, now all of a sudden he has to become an army doctor right on the spot. I know a guy who is part of a bunch of volunteers that every time there's a war in Israel, the doctors from the Israeli hospitals go out onto the front lines to help the wounded, and they go fill all the spots in the Israeli hospitals, you know, so that's also fighting the war, you know, that's also helping in that way. I heard about it, I was blown away. I'm like, you think of, you know, okay, this guy, a very successful doctor, and I'm sure the other ones are also successful doctors, they just pick themselves up from their chashuva practice and they go fill the slot. Some guy could be a chovesh, you know, on the front line. I was blown away when I heard that, you know. But that's also a way to fight Melchemes Mitzvah. So most kalas they don't need. You know, most kalas are not necessary. But Lamaisa over here, what he's saying is that number one, you want to tell me the reason that women are pater from Zechiris Ma'isa Malik is because they don't fight in the war. So, okay. But they, if it's Melchemes Mitzvah, which Amalek certainly is, they do have to fight. And number two, Mi Amad Besod Hashem Yisbarach, who heard the secret of Hashem, Imatam Machmas HaNekama? Meaning, who says the reason why you're supposed to remember Ma'is Amalek is because you have to fight the war against Amalek? Who said the two are absolutely interlinked? Right? The Ezra Xeris Akosa Shinizgar Sin Aso Meizitam. Hashem wants us to hate Amalek for whatever reason. We don't know the reason necessarily. The Ezra Af Bibias Meshichenu Shiyichros Amalek Mikova Kol Lo Ye Zecher Lahem. Right, Mikol Makom, his Hazachira Yiatam in Mitzvah Saseh Lizkar V'Lolish Koach. Maybe even when Mashiach comes and we wipe out Amalek, and there's no Zecher to Amalek in the world, maybe there will still be a mitzvah to remember Amalek. I don't know. So he says, but neither did the Chinuch. So they say the Menchas Chinuch is very upset about this idea of pattering women from Zechiras Amalek. You want to patter them from destroying Amalek? Maybe, maybe not. But even if you want to say that you're right about pattering them from remembering Amalek, from wiping out Amalek, that doesn't mean that they're potter from remembering Amalek. Therefore, I don't understand why he potters the women from this mitzvah. Therefore, I paskin, women are chayav in Parsha Zachor, and just like they're chayav in everything. Now, the answer that most assume is true for the chinuch, against that meaning, the chinuch's not missing a Mishnah and Sota. Are you kidding me? Like, even if you want to say he would miss some random Gemara somewhere in the corner of an Amid Beis in Harius or whatever, like, he wouldn't miss that either. But if you could convince yourself that he would miss it, okay. But he's not missing a Mishnah. So the pashtus is that what the chinuch understands from that Mishnah, kol yotzim l'mechemes mitzvah, meaning the kala, what's the kala's job in the mechemes mitzvah? She's gonna become a covert commando, behind enemy lines? No, she's gonna help out with, distributing rations and whatever a non-soldier does. There's plenty of things to help with. That's what the Mishnah and Sota means, meaning don't get so wrapped up in yourself to say, I can't help with the war effort. Like this doctor I was telling you about. And he goes, he's like the Kala Mechupasa, meaning he's got a very important job in America, but when push comes to shove, he's Yotze Mechedro to go to the, to help out in the Israeli hospital so that the Chovesh can go be on the front lines instead of him being in the operating room. So that's what they do. But that's like what the Kala does. But that's not a chiyuv of Mechias Amalek per se. That's a chiyuv of just stam helping the Jewish people under those circumstances. So that's l'chora what he's referring to. Rav Schechter likes to talk about this all the time. He says the number one war that the Arabs wage with Eretz Yisrael is not a combat war necessarily, because in combat we're pretty good. But what they do, it's a war of terror. And the way, so if you want to help fight the war, if you're not in the Israeli army, and even if you were in the Israeli army, but you're not anymore, you could help against the war by being a tourist in Israel, going to Israel, being mechazik to people, not being afraid to go, and stuff like that. Meaning, that's also, it's an economic war, because they want, and Israel's number one, everybody said many times over that one of Israel's biggest economic weaknesses up until recently, now that they have all this tech stuff going, they're doing a lot better with this. But one of their biggest economic weaknesses is that they made their number one industry tourism. You can't run a country on tourism. It's great. Listen, I love being a tourist in Israel. But like Lemaisa, you can't run a country where tourism is the number one product. And that's a major problem. So how do you help fight the war is by going and being a tourist. Because the Arabs know that the more difficult they make it to go to Eretz Yisrael, the less money tourism is going to bring in, and that hurts the economy of the country, and it brings down the whole country. So by going there and saying you're not afraid to come, and you're masking that this is the homeland, and that these are all things that help out in the war effort. You're not on the front lines, but Lamaisa, there are other ways that you can help. And that's along the lines of the Yisod of Kala Michupasa and Chasam Mechedro. Not every Chasam, we just met, what's his name again? I forgot his name already. I forgot. Nothing? Anybody remember that guy's name? You remember his name? The guy we just spoke here. Yeah, Aaron's last name. Aaron Karov, right. Aaron Karov, right. So okay, he was Mekayim the Mishnah Kipshuto. He was Mekayim Afilu Chosan Mechedro. He mamish went. What?
His Kala didn't go.
His Kala didn't go because they didn't need her. Saying if they have enough soldiers already. But that's the idea. So he was mamish Mekayim Afilu Chosan Mechedro. Okay, but that doesn't prove that the Chinuch is wrong. The second Kasha is a very strong Kasha. Second Kasha is, okay, so who says that if you're not chayiv in Mechias Amalek, you're not chayiv in Zechiras Amalek? Lav Dafka, especially the way we're explaining it, if it's a whole pshat, to remember the, you know, how much we are, we, how much we hate evil. So women also have to hate evil. You know, even if they're not going to be actively involved in the eradication of evil people, they still have to hate evil. So that's kasha. It's a very strong tzarachin of the Minchas Chinuch. All right, let's go a little further. A little further. So let's go to Os Beis in Tafrish Dalit. Umashikos of Rav Mechaber Shalosh Mitzvos, etc. Hamatik Hetik Shalok Keseder. He says, like I said, I mentioned to you this before, it's out of order. It's it was in, written in the wrong key. Hachrasas zera malik who kodem lebinyan beis hamikdash. You're really supposed to wipe out a malik before you build the beis hamikdash, right? That's a gemara. It's a gemara mefureshes Sanhedrin, and in the Rambam Hilchos Malachim. Fine. Mashkasav al kol yachid mi Yisrael azachar mutalachiv tzarachian lama yifart yifteru nashim mitzvus aseizu. Just in case you forgot what I wrote in the right hand column, right? I'll tell you again in the left hand column. Why are women parted from this mitzvah? The einas man gramo mechamazum avor the afkal michupasav emire de laze kivein hamagia bal mishnah lamelech umashetziva laayim b'mitzvus tav chafei utah sofer tzarach lomar. All right, so that's not relevant for us. He's saying, look at that Mishnah Lamelech for whatever reason. This is a very important line. Os Dalet here is very chashiv. He says, you're even chayiv to do this mitzvah b'makom sakona. Ki yadua da hatorah lo tismoch dinam al nisim. There's a right kamavoar b'ramban come upon. Remember in Chumash last year, we stressed this yisod, ein somchan al anes in the Ramban. Right? It's lav dafka, the Ramban's chiddish, but the Ramban likes to talk about it a lot. Right, so he says, "Ein somchan al anes" applies to wars as well. So, how could there ever be a mitzvah to go to war? Suffix sakana, zvade sakana, not suffix sakana, vade sakana. So you'd be machal Shabbos. What's more important, going to war or keeping Shabbos? I gotta believe keeping Shabbos is more important, right? So how could you go to war when it's a vade sakana and we're machal Shabbos for suffix sakana? So what's the answer? He says, because there's, by definition, when we say "Ein somchan al anes," and the Torah sometimes commands us to go to war. It creates a sakonas nefashos. So you see that the mitzvah of going to war, by definition, incorporates the fear of sakonas nefashos and says, we don't care. It says, I understand. How could I ever go to war? It's a sakonas nefashos. The answer is, that's gufa the mitzvah. There's no chiyuv to go to do a mitzvah that's not begeder sakana itself when there's going to be a sakana nefashos. Keeping Shabbos is not supposed to be a sakana nefashos. So when there is a sakana nefashos and keeping Shabbos, we don't keep Shabbos. Going to war is be'etzem a sakana nefashos, and therefore there's still a mitzvah to go to war even though it's a sakana nefashos. That's what the mitzvah is. The mitzvah knows about it and doesn't care. You know, so that's the yisod. This is, we're getting a little too political tonight, but... but to be a little more political for one thing, so Rav Schechter has an article about this, very kedai. If you look in the Sefer Be'ikve Atzon, Begeder HaMedina U'Mechamosel, right? It talks about Medinas Yisrael and the wars of Medinas Yisrael. So one of the things he starts off with, he quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, that since 1948, because many of the Arab nations refused to recognize the State of Israel as legit, and they've been fighting. I mean, they have ceasefires, but they're still fighting the existence of the State of Israel out of Yom HaZeh.
It's mainly contention, like in the peace process.
Yeah.
Wants to recognize.
Yeah, you have to. You're going to tell me, oh, we're going to be nice to you, but we refuse to recognize your right to exist. So that's another way of just saying, like, yeah, the next chance we get, we're going to try to wipe you out. Meaning, I don't think it's so the Israelis can sleep well at night knowing, you know, our self-esteem is built up because the Arabs recognize our legitimate right to exist. Who cares? You know, it means that if you say we're a real country, so you're not going to basically make it one of your charter moves to try to destroy this non-country. You know, like if you say we're occupiers, and so by definition, you don't want occupiers occupying, you want them out. But if you say, no, they're the real country, and therefore they have the right to be there, so now, after, that you'll agree that we have the right to be here also, and you won't spend your whole time trying to, you know, you'll spend your time actually trying to build up a good country for yourself, instead of just worrying about what we're doing all the time. You know, all right, whatever, it's a pipe dream, but Lamaisa, there's no good solution, so we'll take it as it comes. You know, there's only Siyata Dishmaya could help in this. There's no man-made solution that has any idea what to do. But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's point was is that the war never ended. So there was a Maisa Shehoya where during like a lot of the hijackings in the late 70s, I think, a lot of the hijacking. So there was a flight with Rav Yitzchok Huttner that got hijacked. They wanted to know, some of the rich Baal Batim in America wanted to know if they could ransom off Rav Huttner for a large sum of money. If there's an exception in general, we say, Ein Podin HaSashvun Yotzer Al-Kadei Demeyem. You don't pay too much to be Podesh a captive. But you say, if he's a Chacham Yuchad Bedoro, Shekol Am Tzrichim Lo, so maybe you're allowed to. Which kid?
And then Rome, some town I was walking by, like some like prison or something like that, and like he asked like a question or something like that, and he answered, and somehow we answered it, like
right.
Kid, and he was like, oh, I know this kid's gonna be a great like Talmud Chacham.
Right.
So then he ended up redeeming him for like
right.
Some crazy.
Exactly. Event. So he says because he held it, called Ar Tzrichim Lo. Yeah. So therefore they wanted to know, and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, Im Kolzeh doesn't matter. Because a different situation. He says, we're at war now. He says, the war was over. No, it's never over. It's over when there's a real peace. If there's never been a legitimate peace, there's just, large ceasefires in between, that's still a war. So he says, you don't give money to the enemy during a war. So he said, therefore, you couldn't, Baruch Hashem, they were able to work something out anyway. And he obviously returned back, to where he belonged. But he said, in terms of pidyon shvuyim during a war, there's no mitzvah pidyon shvuyim during a war, unless it's strategically warranted for the war. But you have to have the war experts tell you what's more strategic, what's not. Most opposing soldiers don't want to be giving economic funds to the other side in a war. That's just not a good policy. But okay, so this is a huge minchas chinuch. Where we say that, maybe this is a part of his whole thing about, should you go to Eretz Yisrael even if it's a sakana? So he's saying, even if it's a sakana, that's your part in fighting the war. So mele, there's no concept of sakana snafashis when it comes to war. So, a lot of these things where they'll say, don't live in a certain part. If it's true, I'm not saying it is true. If it's true that, going and forming some settlement in a certain place will aid Klal Yisrael in fighting the war, so then you can't say, but it's a sakana to be there, because we don't take sakana into account in those cases. And therefore, if it's actually helpful, again, I have no idea what the truth is. But if the truth is that that's helpful and being there is going to help Klal Yisrael, win the war, so then you don't have to worry, maybe it's a sakana to do it, because there's no din sakana stafarshis when it comes to warfare. All right, all this is, requires much further study. I just thought this was a very important piece to see at the end of it. All right. Oh, sorry, I just went way too long. I apologize. Okay. I saw 52 minutes. That's not right.